הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. אורו אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח. Hello everybody, welcome to the Judge Eve Show, and the song in Hebrew just say, let us be happy and let us sing. So we're not exactly going to sing today, but we're going to talk about very important things, but I want you to be happy, keep open minds, and hopefully you learn something from Tina today. Let us first pray. Lord, Tina Myers and I humble ourselves before you. Excuse me, we thank you and praise you that you let our meditation of our hearts and the words of our mouth be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. And also, I welcome you, Tina Myers. She's an author of the book Faith in the City, Care for God, and that's New Orleans. She'll tell us all about it. She's a credentialed Assembly of God minister. She's a certified belief counselor, and I'm going to ask her about those things as well. She's a freelance writer. She doesn't believe she's a writer, but she's fabulous, people. By the way, if you need anything written and pay her for it, she's wonderful. And also she's a member of the Southern Christian Writers Guild of the North Shore Literary Society. And she's the writer and editor for NOLA, N-O-L-A, and I take it that's North New Orleans, Louisiana.com, Faith, Belief, and Spirit. Welcome, Tina. How are you?
Thank you.
May I tell everybody we're both a little congested?
Sure.
So we need the healing power of the Holy Spirit. But Tina, you thank God for you for being here again. And I wanted to ask you some preliminary questions before going to the subject that you cover in your book.
Sure.
You got saved also in 1974. Tell us again,
1973.
Please. 73, excuse mm-hmm. me. You were my
yeah.
senior saved.
40 years. 40 years this year.
But you know, isn't that something? But you know something? We stay between 3 and 21 because the Lord says to come to him as little children.
Uh-huh.
And I used to say in Israel, we do things fast. I was born at minus 40.
That works for me.
Being a grandma, right? You're younger than your grandkids, right?
Yeah.
You don't look like a grandma. You're really beautiful, I have to tell everybody. Take a look at Tina's picture. You're beautiful. But tell us, please, briefly, what happened to you in 1973 that you actually then accepted Jesus in your life?
Well, in 1973, I was struggling with a drug problem, and I was a teenager. I was I'd started when we moved to New Orleans. I got involved in with some people that were, you know, part of the local drug culture, and did it for about 2 years, and I just knew there was something in me that I just knew this wasn't the way I needed to live, and
wow.
I called out on God,
yes.
called out to God.
And, did you come from a Christian home, Tina?
Oh, no.
So
my father was an alcoholic.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how did you know to call upon God?
Well, before we moved to New Orleans, we lived in Kentucky, and I had found a book in the public library called
yes.
The Cross and the Switchblade,
yes.
which was about the ministry of David Wilkerson to
right.
gangs and drug addicts. And I had read that when maybe I was 11 years old.
Wow.
And even though at the time I didn't really understand the book was, in fact, I thought it was a fiction book at the time I wrote it,
really?
But I think it
yes.
just planted in my heart what I was going to need to do in the future.
Wow. And that's a story about Nikki Cruz, who became a worldwide
right.
evangelist. Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, but isn't that, you know, and may I say something too? Your story shows that anybody can be saved. Doesn't
Absolutely.
Matter, right? Doesn't matter where they come from,
right.
what they did, or anything. God
right.
can cleanse us and bring us to his level. So
mm-hmm.
go ahead, please. So what happened then in 73?
Well, I was at a rock concert, and I had taken some drugs, and I was really upset with myself, and I
wow.
guess that was the point where I realized I needed help. Yes. So I asked God to help me. And that is, basically, I wasn't calling on God because I wanted God. I just wanted him to help me.
Isn't it, you know, I always say he's a carrot dangler. You know, he makes us want one thing, but then we end up doing it his way.
Exactly, exactly. And really, yeah. that beginning, my initial salvation and things that happened then,
yes.
really began my journey of faith.
Really, and then we'll get into that in a minute.
Sure.
But I also wanted to know, and by the way, if people want your book, let me just mention it. We'll mention it several times. Mm-hmm. They can go to Tina's website, which is http://. I'm using the technical words now.
Sure.
And it's Tina, T like Tom, E-E, N-A, initial L like lady, and Myers, Myers.com. And also you can email her at tinamyers@ymail.com. So either for speaking engagements or for writing or to order
yes.
her book.
Right.
So Tina, what caused you to become a credentialed Assembly of God minister, and what did it take? I was curious for myself.
Okay. Let me say before we go into that, that the book is also available on Amazon.com, Barnes & Nobles, and people could go into any bookstore and ask for it, and they'll order a copy.
And that's Faith in the City, Care for God.
Yes, Finding Faith in the City, Care for God. Yes,
oh,
ma'am.
Oh, my goodness. I kept omitting the word finding in the
Oh,
ad.
Well, that's okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Oh, Lord, help. Yes. Thank
okay,
you.
The ministry aspect of it is, well, after about 2 years after I got saved, about right after I had graduated from high school, and
yes.
maybe 3 days after that, and I'm kind of pondering what I'm going to do with the rest of my life, I heard
yes.
just as clear as if someone was standing in the room, I heard
yes.
God say, "Tell people about me."
And you were already saved by then, I take it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was saved for about 2 years. And since I did not come from a Christian home, and I
yeah.
really didn't know what to do with that, you
yeah.
know.
How do you do that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when you add to that I really didn't know a whole lot about him besides that he existed and he helped me, you know. There wasn't much to tell.
Well, you could have had the shortest speech on earth, right?
Yeah.
Program.
In fact, I did immediately
yes. oh.
obey.
Yeah.
I just
yeah.
ran outside, and
yeah.
first people I saw, well, God loves you, and then that's about all I had to say, you know.
That's wow.
But
see, you were obedient. Obedience is
well,
better
you
to
know,
sacrifice.
That, well, yes. I tried to obey, and I'll just
yes.
say things didn't work out. I didn't know what I was doing, had no support and guidance at home.
Oh.
But,
oh.
you know, I think it
yes.
was just all in God's plan to learn who he is.
Yes.
And it was maybe 20 years later that I knew that God had placed a calling on my life. You can't avoid something like that when he speaks
right.
that clear. And so I had gone to the pastor, and I had talked about it.
Oh,
and,
were you going to church at that time then?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And what church? Assembly of God?
The Assembly of God Church, yeah. I've
yes.
been in Assemblies of God, except for a 3-year period. I've always attended Assemblies of God churches.
Yes, yes.
Just because that's where God led me. I think there's a lot of great churches out there. This is
yes.
just where God led me.
Right.
And I went and I talked to the pastor about it and things that had happened and how God spoke to me. And he recommended that I would pursue credentials in the assemblies, which will ordain women. They are
oh.
favorable.
And do you do it by email? I'm sorry, I don't mean email. Internet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say the exact words. I mean, did you do it online, or did you have to attend classes in person?
Well, what they do in the assemblies, of course, they have colleges. They have several colleges, but
yes.
I wasn't at a place where I could leave. I'd been married for 15 years and we had kids, and
yes.
so I couldn't do that. But they do have a like a correspondence courses that you can
oh.
take, and
yes.
there are 33 books.
Wow.
11 per step, you know,
yes.
that you would read, and then you would go, and then they would interview you, and it's a process that
wow.
takes time. And
yes.
so I studied the books that I needed. Now, I never went as far as ordination because I never felt like God had called me to pastor a church.
Right, right.
You know, I
You're
knew
more
that
of an
I was
evangelist, right?
More so, yeah, more
yes.
so evangelist. teacher
yes.
kind of thing.
Yes.
But I just, of course, I studied the books, and then I went, you have to meet with committees. You meet with, you
yes.
know, the district committee, and then the district committee, no, the local sectional committee, and then if they approve you, that they feel that, that they see that God's hand is on your life, they'll recommend
yes.
you to the district, and then you meet with that committee,
yes.
and then if they agree with the local committee, they send it to the national office, and then
wow.
with their recommendation, and
but
and basically...
It takes, I'm sorry, it takes really a lot of training and investigation, you know, in effect, right?
Well, yeah, you can't just walk in and say you're called and they'll give you a piece of paper. I mean, they
right.
do. You do have to study. You are interviewed, you know, so it's not something that it's easy to come by.
And I think people need to know that to give you credibility for knowing
mm-hmm.
what you're talking about. Because mm-hmm. the other thing I wanted to ask you about, what did it take and why did you become a belief therapist, a certified belief therapist?
Well, I did that, and in the story, I mean, in the book, Finding Faith in the City, Care for God, there's a story about how I met the man who preached the message that led to my salvation. Now, I know that
oh.
sounds odd because I got saved
no.
under his ministry, but
yeah.
I was only there once, maybe
wow.
twice,
yeah.
and I was at 15 at the time, and I could never go back. And so
oh.
I heard him preach, but I never knew his name because he preached and then he left and someone else prayed with people.
Right.
So I never really knew who he was beyond the fact that he was a guy, he was a young guy with a beard. And so for like 38
like one,
years.
The only one in the world, right?
Right, you know, exactly. So for 38 years, I was just, oh,
yes.
some young guy with a beard. Well, when
wow.
I started writing about people, I happened yes. upon this pastor.
Yes.
And when he was telling me his story, we figured out that he was the guy with the beard.
Oh, my gosh.
And isn't he even had a picture from
oh.
from 38 years ago, that time
yes.
in his life, because at the time I talked to him, he no longer had a beard.
Right.
And, of course, he's, you know, 30 years older.
I was going to say, usually the hair goes so they grow a beard.
He
did the reverse, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was the reverse. But
yes.
he showed me that picture of him 38 years
wow.
ago.
Wow.
Now this his name is Pastor David Rodrigue, and he has
yes.
he has a he's the owner of Therapon Institute,
oh.
which was started in Texas by a
yes.
man who had he had developed a I don't know how to explain it a therapy that
yes,
he used in
yes.
prisons.
Oh.
Called belief therapy, and then he also had it approved by the National Psychological whatever, I don't know all the names
yeah.
for all this, but whoever yeah. approves therapies as a
right.
legitimate therapy.
So like
this,
a method that's based on knowing God, I take it, right?
Yes, absolutely,
yeah.
on getting your thinking
yeah.
straight, and when you
yeah.
get your thinking straight, then your life tends to heal and things correct. Basically, that's what the therapy is about. And
you
it's
know,
called belief therapy, and it is
that.
A recognized therapy by yeah. other psychologists. Well,
yeah.
when I met David, he yeah. had this program, and he had introduced me to it. So, and because I talked to a lot of people, I thought, you know, and I have written about, you know, homosexuals and lesbians and atheists.
Yes.
In fact, there's an atheist in the book. So
yes.
when he told me about it, I thought, well, this would be something good for me to have because I meet such a wide variety of people.
Interesting. And then you understand them and you know how to approach
mm-hmm.
them and maybe even to help them.
Right.
right.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking the other day, and I was expressing it to a dear, dear Christian friend. You know, every attempt is not made in society to undo the Bible, to undo the Word of God, to show garbage, you know, like Sodom
mm-hmm.
and Gomorrah. Like I feel I live in Sodom and Gomorrah in the state of Washington. You know, say,
yeah, well,
say
I live in New Orleans, so.
Nothing new under the sun, right?
Right.
But what I was going to say is, look what happens to people when they take away biblical principles. Everything falls apart. There's
yes.
no morality. There's no guideline. There's no code.
That's
so everything,
right.
I do my own thing type thing, you know?
That's right.
So please go ahead, Tina, and tell us, how did you come to write your book? Was it many years after you became both a minister and a counselor?
Oh, yeah, yes, yes. Many years, a lot, maybe 20, 30 years after that.
When you were
but
about 10?
Yeah.
All right. A very advanced child. Isn't that what God does to us?
Yeah.
your grandchildren are really older than you, right?
Yes, they are.
I thought so.
The book really is a compilation of stories of people and how they came to faith, how God answered prayers. But the
what caused you to go into that?
Well, let me go back to faith itself, because that's what we really want to talk about, is how my faith has transformed from the time that I got saved until today. There's been a major transformation in faith.
So what did you feel faith was when you first got saved? And tell us
When I first got saved, I wasn't, number one, I wasn't looking for God. I just had a problem and I needed help.
Yes.
And it was bigger than me, so I called on someone bigger than me, which was God.
Right.
Now, and this happened over many, many years. It took me a long time to kind of figure to understand faith, because people can have faith without having faith in God.
So what do you mean by faith? What is your definition of faith?
Okay, faith to me is... it is the sum total of the reasons we have to believe that what God said he will do, he will do and can do.
And that's what you understood when you first accepted?
No,
Jesus.
That's not what I understood.
Oh, I see. What did you understand then?
Well, at the time, I didn't understand anything. I just just called on God and he answered.
But you see, you had faith that he would.
Clearly I did, and I think I derived that from reading the book, The Cross and the Switchblade.
Okay, because
that, even though at the time I thought it was fiction, I think it planted in my consciousness that there is a supreme being, a higher being, God, who does help people.
Yeah, wonderful.
But, you know, I think a lot of people, they come to God because... well, their life is tough, and sometimes things get so bad you can't handle it.
Right.
And so you come to God because you need help and you want something.
Yes.
But here's what I learned over the years. My faith has transformed from seeking God to acquire something I want to seeking God to acquire what he wants to give me.
And that's called maturity in God, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful? Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because, we are by nature, we're self-centered, you know.
Right.
We think about us and our problems and what we want. But we don't always, I think you have to mature. I mean, it's childish. Children are that way.
Of course.
And you mature over the years. And finally, I think for a while there, I didn't think I'd ever grow up. I was...
What makes you think you have now? I don't think I have.
Well, I think I have made progress.
Oh, good.
I don't think I have by means arrived, but I think I have finally made some measurable progress.
We're being made perfect, aren't we, right? We'd be perfect.
Right.
And it takes go ahead. I was going to say something. But
no, go ahead.
No, I forgot.
You forgot, okay.
I know what I was going to say. You know, when I first got saved, you know, and it was so wonderful, and I remember meeting with the wife of the judge who actually led me to the Lord and their pastor, and I said, oh, you know, I pray and it happens right away, you know, and he said to me, and I'll never forget it, he said, when you're a baby, you get milk and you get it right away. As you grow older, of course, the Bible says you get meat, and you don't always get it right away. God will give it to you in his timing.
Oh, absolutely,
because
the Bible talks about persevering.
Exactly. And also, you know, most people now, and what the media does to kids today, it's everything me, mine, and I. Mm-hmm. And I want it yesterday. I want it, and that's totally against what God is all about, you know?
Right.
So go ahead. So when would you say your thinking has changed, or would you say it was a process? Or?
Oh, it was a very long process, and I'll tell you how it happened. It was many years. It was little things along the way that would catch my attention, and I would wonder about it. And I'll tell you the biggest thing that in the faith movement, and I'm not by any means disparaging anybody in that movement. I think they were great men of God who were doing a good thing and teaching faith as they understood it.
Yes.
But we are all growing in a knowledge of God.
Right.
And sometimes what we've got is incomplete.
Very interesting.
And it's
yes.
not that it's wrong. It's just
yes.
incomplete.
It's like being at different levels of education, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you learn certain
yes.
things in elementary
mm-hmm.
school, and then high
right.
school is a little more, and then college
mm-hmm.
even more. So
mm-hmm.
go ahead. And that's the same in learning in God, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
Because, I mean, even, you know, if you think about it, Moses, they had the law, but
yes.
and they understood the law, but they didn't have a full, clear understanding of grace until Jesus
exactly.
came.
And you want to hear
and
something?
That was another generation.
Exactly. Exactly, because they couldn't have
yeah.
handled it. And this
yeah.
is being a Jew who was very, you know, my background is very Orthodox Jews,
mm-hmm.
you know? So,
mm-hmm.
of course, you know the law. And that's why when I got saved and that lining got cut off of my eyes,
mm-hmm.
and I read the book of John, and I said, I'm free. This is what I've always believed in,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it even takes a stage of growth from the legalistic part going
right.
into the faith part. Yeah, go ahead.
And, you know, and I'll tell you something about the law that I learned as I have grown in my faith.
Yes.
Is some Christians want to just take the law and throw it out and say, oh, there's no more law, it's just grace. But
yes.
I don't believe that by any means. I
no.
think, because even in the New Testament, it says the law is good.
And Jesus said he didn't come to undo the law, but to
absolutely.
Fulfill it.
He came to fulfill it.
Exactly. And if you love, you know, if you
mm-hmm.
love people unconditionally as he meant us to do,
mm-hmm.
you don't
mm-hmm.
need law, because then you're not going to kill anybody nor steal from them. You
right.
wouldn't want to. So
right.
the law was like a preparation, you know, very
mm-hmm.
rigid standard what to do when they didn't have that personal relationship with God.
Right.
You know?
And you really need to understand the law, to understand the depth of
yes.
God's love.
Yes.
Because he does. He,
by the
he,
way,
he,
it, it's a good
he
title
rules
for a book.
According, oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's a good title for a book. Sorry, Tina, if I don't say it, I forget.
Actually, I have another book that's no longer in print
oh.
that is more on this subject than the one I just released. But
give
it's no
name.
Longer in print.
Well, maybe you should
well,
reissue it.
There might be some. Actually, it's a very badly, poorly written book because
oh.
it was my first book.
Yeah, I don't believe it was poorly written.
But well, no, because I'm rewriting it now, and I'm uploading the rewrites onto my website under the title "God Pleasing Faith." The name
oh.
of the book was "A Reason to Believe."
Wow,
and,
I like that. Mm-hmm.
It's no longer in print now. There might every I think that you might like a used bookstore or something. You might
or Amazon. You know how they often sell used books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't even think Amazon offers it anymore. But maybe from a third party seller.
Oh.
But the book is more so. Well, let me tell you what happened and
yes.
why I wrote why that book came into being. To begin
yes.
with, is I was at a, of course, I studied all the faith teachers and their writings, and
yes.
I even went out of state to attend some of their meetings because I
yes.
wanted to have faith.
Right.
Well, I was sitting in one of the meetings.
Let me disturb you. I'm
mm-hmm.
sorry. You wanted
sure.
to have faith. What does that mean? Does that mean you did not have faith, or did you not understand what faith
I wanted
was?
To understand faith.
Ah, okay.
That
okay.
would be a better word.
Okay.
I had faith, but I didn't really understand
how it works.
What I had.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Understands a better word. So mm-hmm. I was at one of the meetings and I was listening to one of the faith teachers.
Yeah.
And his sermon was I think it was like 7 steps to faith or something like that.
Mm. Yes.
And where he told you if you do this and this, then your faith is going to work. And
mm-hmm.
you could pretty much get anything you want from God if you just get your faith right.
Again, me, my, and
mm-hmm.
for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, something really interesting happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are most of the people in the faith movement exercise the gifts of the Spirit with tongues and interpretation and that sort of thing.
Right.
So during the service, as soon as the minister completed his sermon, there was a tongues that came forth. And the interpretation I remember to this day,
yes.
the interpretation said, not formulas, in my presence, all your problems will fly out the windows like birds of the air.
I get goosebumps. Wow.
Now,
wow.
when I heard that, I stop because I'm writing down my formula, okay? I just spent an hour writing down the formula to have
the
faith. Right, you know. And I stopped and I listened to that and I thought, and this thought went through my head, God just said this man is wrong.
Exactly. But how you understood, it was the Holy Spirit revealing that to you.
Exactly. Well, now, even at that point, I didn't understand what was going on, but it was one of those things that just kind of stick in the back of your mind. And you never get rid of it.
Right.
Well, some years after that, I don't know, maybe 10 years after that, I was asked to teach a Sunday school. And I started out teaching. They would give me a book, and I'd do my best to teach it, and I was really struggling, trying to learn how to teach, for one thing. These poor people I learned how to teach on.
Well,
you know, God bless them.
But you were learning as you were teaching, because I know in my teaching, that's what happens. You have to know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
So it's extremely beneficial, you know. And let me interrupt you for a moment and give again your book. It's Finding Faith in the City, Care for God by Tina Myers. And you can contact her at her email, Tina, T-E-E-N-A, Myers, M-Y-E-R-S, at Y, the letter Y, mail.com, or on her website, http://2/ Tina L, with the initial L in the middle, Myers.com. And also, let me say, if anybody wants to call in, the call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. So go ahead, please, Tina.
Okay. So I'm teaching this class, and they're giving me the books. And then one day, the director of the Sunday school department said, well, what book do you want to teach next? And I said, the Bible.
That's what I would have said. Amazing.
You know, I figured, you know, we're here to study the Bible. Let me just teach the Bible, you know.
Right. That's somebody else's interpretation.
Right, you know.
Yes, yes.
So I started teaching the Bible, and while I was teaching one series, I had stumbled across a, I hadn't stumbled across, I'd read it many times, but this time it kind of stood out to me.
Yes.
And that's a scripture in Romans chapter 4 that says, and he, speaking about Abraham, is also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised.
Wow.
Well, steps of faith reminded me of, like, the formulas, you know, that I that I had been taught, where if you do this, 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 this. Well, that intrigued me, and I thought, well, if Abraham is the father of our faith, then I need to walk in the same steps he did to have the kind of faith that pleases God.
Wow. Wow. Go ahead. That's amazing.
And, yeah, it was amazing because when I started, of course, when I was teaching Sunday school is really when I started writing because I started writing out the lessons for the class.
Yeah.
And this is really where the book came from because I wrote a series of lessons which I called Steps of Faith.
Wow. Isn't God amazing how no matter when we make him Lord of our lives, how he directs every step of ours anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
You are being led into the steps of Abraham. I love it. Yes, go ahead, please.
Right. So I started writing this lesson, this series of lessons, and really, you know, I learned things that, I don't know, I'm not going to say it's not taught in church because I'm not in every church, you know.
Right.
But
why
just
not?
In the churches, in the churches I'd been in, I really didn't hear, I always used to wonder why we have to be resurrected. I mean, because we go to heaven.
Oh.
So why do we need to be resurrected? And then the Bible says that Jesus is coming back. So I'm like, well, I'm going to heaven. Why do I want to come back here?
Yeah.
And there were a lot of things that kind of didn't make sense, which by the time I finished writing this series of lessons, everything just started to fall into place and was becoming clearer. And, you know, how Abraham's faith, one of the things that I learned about Abraham, I always thought that the thing God promised Abraham that Abraham, in my mind, I thought, well, Abraham was praying for a son, so this is what the promise was all about. God was going to give him a son.
Yeah.
But as I studied that, well, Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees and went up to Haran. He wasn't looking for a son. The Bible says he was looking for a city.
Right. May I take a break right now?
Sure.
I'm sorry. We'll be back. And everybody stay on. This is to be continued. We'll be we'll be back in just a moment.
Hello. This is Judge Eve Ellingwood, also known as Cohen and Sternlight. I'm a retired judge, and I'm glad to be on BBSRadio.com Station 1 on alternate Saturday, and my website, where you can also get my book, Diary of a Sabra Faith in Action, is an e-book. The website is www.90210holocaust.com, and I also will do counseling, whether spiritually or general legal questions such as unemployment, divorce, other questions with which so many people are faced today. And the way to contact me for that would be at my email, which is eejudgeeve79@gmail.com. That's E like elephant, E like elephant, J-U, D like David, G like George, E like elephant, E like elephant, V for victory, E like elephant, 79@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing you, and rather from you, and to be able to be of help. Thank you.
Hello again, everybody. Thank you for being with us. I'm honored to have Tina Myers, author, minister, counselor, and freelance writer and editor, and with her book, Finding Faith in the City, Care for God, which is New Orleans. And we'll get back to her in just a second. I just wanted to say that the next show, February 9th, my guest will be Pastor Michael Cummins from England, who is an amazing prayer warrior. When he prays, there are gold specks appearing everywhere. So if people want to have prayer requests ahead of time, we'd love to hear it. So, Tina, go ahead, please. I interrupted you very rudely. Forgive me.
Oh, you did not.
So you're writing the lessons for your class.
Right, called Steps of Faith. And I think Abraham wasn't praying and asking God for a son, that when he left Ur of the Chaldees and then Haran to come down to the land God would show him, he was looking for a city.
Yeah, but God directed him to do that at that point.
Right. So when he got to, I think God appeared to Abraham, I think, seven times.
Really? That's
starting,
many times.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Starting, but it was over a long span of years, because the first time he spoke to him was in Ur of the Chaldees, and then he went up to Haran for 15 years and nothing, and then when Abraham's father died, then God spoke to him again.
Yes.
This would be the second time he spoke to him, and then he didn't talk to him again till he got to Canaan in obedience.
Yes.
Well, the thing that kind of intrigued me is just that Abraham was looking for a city that God had built, that God had promised him.
Yes.
It wasn't something that Abraham chose.
Exactly.
It was something God wanted to give him.
Yes.
So now I'm beginning to learn that, you know, well, every good and perfect gift comes from God. Now,
Amen.
We want a lot of things.
Yes.
And those things are not always good and perfect for us, and God knows that. We don't always know that.
Right.
But God does. So really, and I'm not saying it's wrong to ask God for things, and he certainly will give them to you, because, I mean, I've asked God for personal things and gotten them. We had wanted the lot that was behind our house when we bought it, and we didn't have the money at the time. And I went back there and asked God for it, you know, and prayed, and the price of the lot was reduced 80%, and we paid cash for it.
Wow. And, you know, I was going to say, really, God raises us like we raise our children. Mm-hmm. You know, we know what's better for them, even though they want what they want.
Exactly.
But it doesn't mean we deny them many things they want, because we love them. And
absolutely.
God loves you and all of us who believe in him. So I'm going to cry, because isn't that so sweet to hear how God answered your prayer in such a wonderful way, and really, which is
he
what
did.
We all should expect, right?
Yes.
He did. You know, and on the flip side of that, because yes. I learned a lot watching my sister's life, even though it was tragic.
Oh.
On the flip side of that, she yes. also sought God, but I don't think she ever learned what I learned, that it's better to seek God for the things he wants to give us than it is
yes.
to tell him what we want and seek him for that, because she wanted
yes.
and truly believed she wanted a young man that she loved him and she wanted to marry him, but
yes.
he wasn't good for her.
Yes.
And, in fact, he ended up going to prison for murder.
Oh, my.
And yet she hung on for 10 years believing if
yes.
she just got her faith right and
yes.
did the right things, that God would release him from prison and they would get married. And
yes.
and it was good things, okay? Because
yes.
sometimes you want good things, but you
yes.
just don't know people's hearts.
Right.
Especially
again,
when you're dealing with people.
And you know what else, too? God knows the end from the beginning, but also
mm-hmm.
he also puts us in the gap for other people. So
mm-hmm.
she might have been drawn to do that for a period of time,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah,
so
and
ahead.
You know, and the guy did get, he did start reading the Bible, and I don't know where he's at today, so I don't want to say
yeah.
that, but I do know that he was reading the Bible. He'd even thrown mm-hmm. it away at one time, and someone took it out of the trash and put it back on his bed.
It sounds like what
but,
my husband kept doing with my Bible. And my housekeeper would retrieve them. That's funny. See, I had my own prison, my own communist country at home. And, you know, any Christian literature, you know, it's really a federal offense. He would throw that nail in the trash.
Oh, goodness.
You see how well trained I am. Yes, so go ahead, please.
Well, yes. so I mean, I don't want to give people the impression that you know, God only gives you what he wants, because
no.
you know, he will give you if it's good for you. He's certainly going to give it to you. He's not going to withhold it from you, but
you
there are times when you pray for things that are not good for you, like my sister was praying for this young man. That young man is
yes.
still in prison.
Oh my.
And my sister is dead.
Oh no.
So God never wanted her
to have him. Let me
and
say
she
though,
would never let go.
Oh. You know, there is a verse that says, I think it's Psalms, delight yourself, 37:4, I think, delight yourself
mm-hmm.
in the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when we put him first,
mm-hmm.
and again, I'd like to mention it, if I may, I read a book a long time ago which really helped me. It was in English called The Secret of a Happy Christian Life by
mm-hmm.
Hannah Whiteholt Smith. She lived in the late 1800s in England. And in the first chapter, which had to be interpreted to simpler English, she said, if you by faith make Jesus Lord of your life, as by faith you've made him Savior, then you must know that everything that comes your way, he has permitted.
Mm-hmm.
And that has really helped me, because as you say, we don't always know what's good for us or what we're
right.
supposed to do. So
right.
that's where we take the steps of faith, I think, that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right,
so go
right.
ahead, please. I'm so sorry. How old was your sister when she passed away?
She was 43.
Oh,
in
no.
fact, she's the first chapter in my book called In Pain But Not in Vain.
Oh.
Because she did live most of her life. She never found her way out of drug addiction.
Oh my.
And she did die. Well, she didn't die from an overdose, but she was so high she sat in a
yeah.
tub of hot water and burned like 50% of her body,
and it
ended in her death. She was in a coma for 6 months, and then she died.
But she was saved, right? She did find Jesus.
Well,
in her life.
You know, right before that yes. happened, she had called me, and she was searching. She was struggling, trying to get her life back right with God,
yes.
and she went to church with me, and we talked, but. She
yes.
was just so broken and bruised and abused by various situations. She, you know,
yes.
I choose to believe that just based on how much she wanted to get
yes.
it right, that in her heart, even though she took those final drugs and it ended in a bad way, that
yes.
that God still, you know, that there's a scripture in the Bible that says that you can turn to turn him over to for the destruction of the flesh
that the soul might be saved. Amen. And she was, by the way. I see her at the last minute because, you know, the spirit is still conscious. Even the person is in a coma. She did accept Jesus, and she did go home saved.
Yeah.
So praise God for that.
So, but her life was cut short because of it. But you know
the verse also, by the kernel of wheat fall and die, there's no life. Maybe she was meant to sacrifice her life for you.
Well, I learned from watching her life and her trying to embrace and refusing to release what she wanted, because I don't doubt that God would have given her a wonderful husband, but he couldn't until she let go of this guy.
Exactly.
And she just didn't want to let go of him.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, even lied to her daughter and told her daughter that he was the father and he wasn't.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, it was it was bad, you know. But, I mean, when you get so consumed with what you want in life and you don't look beyond yourself to the people that your life touches and the fact that God is a loving God who's very wise, and when he says no, there's a very good reason and you need to let it go.
You know, is it Isaiah 11:55 where it says, "My ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts." And I always say, you know, we see, like when little ants are on the ground and they think they see everything, yet we see way further than what they see.
Right.
He sees the end from the beginning. So I always say to him, "Hey, what do you see here?
Right,
this is going
to
happen." And again, those of us who follow him with our whole heart, all we want is only what he wants, you know.
Right.
You know, one of the stories you mentioned, I think, is about a prophecy, a 100-year-old prophecy you saw fulfilled, and another one, something was done or said 38 or 39 years previously.
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to talk about those stories?
Yeah, the prophecy, the 100-year-old prophecy that was fulfilled was a young man that was in my husband's children's church.
Yes.
His name is Jeremy Quintini. In fact, he's a youth pastor right now up near Baton Rouge.
Wow.
Well, what happened with him is he went, you know, through my husband's children's church, and my husband taught a lot of things, but Jeremy never really understood. You know, he's raised in a Christian home. His parents are very devoted.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes that can be a little bit of a detriment, because then you embrace your parents' God, but he's not your God.
Ah.
You know what I mean?
Ah, yeah.
So he went through that period of struggle trying to find God, his God, not just some God my parents told me about.
And how old was he at the time?
He was a teenager when he hit the teenage years, because my husband teaches up through sixth grade, and then he had gone on, and he went to high school, and a young man, a gentleman who has mentors other young men, had kind of taken him under his wing and taught him. And Jeremy came to a place where God revealed himself to him during the service.
Wow.
And he just, and, you know, he said everything just fell into place, is what Jeremy told me. And he understood now that, you know, that God is real and a living God. And he became Jeremy's God. Well, Jeremy went off to Bible college.
Yeah.
And the young man that he shared a room with was the son of Reinhard Bonnke's general manager, I think, of his ministry.
Yeah.
And one of the things they had to do at the Bible college is they had to go on a missions trip, which was part of the, you know, the education and credit. Well, the missions trip that they planned fell through. Some of the other members did not raise the money that was needed, and the whole thing just kind of fell apart. So Jeremy's friend called his father and asked them if they could do an internship at the Reinhard Bonnke's ministry in Florida.
They have such a place? I didn't know that. In the United States?
Yeah, his ministry is located in Florida. Reinhard Bonnke has a ministry headquarters in Florida.
And then just describe, he's an amazing faith minister and healer, right? Like thousands and thousands of people.
Oh, yeah, in Africa, half a million people will show up, you know, for a service.
That's why I wondered that he's from Germany originally, and I thought he was only based in South Africa. Yeah,
Well, his ministry is based in South Africa, but he has a headquarters in Florida.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I think that's where they do a lot of the production of his books and films and filming and that sort of thing. Well, anyhow, Jeremy thinks, well, this is going to, you know, this is going to be a snap. We're going to go down to Florida and we're going to, you know, lay out in the sun
the
and
sun
we're going to get credit.
Because,
yeah. Well, he gets over there and his friend's father, he put him to work, honey. He just, he said, they worked 40-hour day, and then after that day, they were out in the yard scrubbing blades of grass, you know, to clean up the yard. He said he really
never
worked
saw
there.
The beach, right?
I bet he never saw
right.
the ocean. Well, one of the things that Jeremy had to do was they sent him to Reinhard Bonnke's home to do things around the house, things that needed to be done, yard work and different things like that.
Yes.
And one thing that they asked him to do was to, Reinhard Bonnke's wife wanted them to dust the books. He's got a huge library, and they wanted them to kind of organize, dust the books, because, you know, they get dusty, and he's working in there.
Yes.
And he developed a relationship with Reinhard Bonnke.
Wow.
Which he learned, Reinhard Bonnke taught him that faith is action, that faith is doing.
Because faith without works is dead.
Is dead,
right?
Exactly.
Yes.
So Jeremy, after this summer with this really a Christian legend, pretty much, he went back to Bible college and graduated. And one of the gentlemen at the Bible college said that there had been a hurricane in Vanuatu, and it had pretty much devastated things over there.
Is that in Florida? Where?
No. Vanuatu is an island, I think, over there by Australia somewhere.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Yes.
So there had been a hurricane over there, and that what they were going to do, they were getting together a team to go over there, and they were going to build a Bible college there. And he wanted to know if Jeremy wanted to do this.
Wow, how wonderful.
Jeremy didn't even think twice, because he heard Reinhard Bonnke thundering, faith is doing. So Jeremy said, well, I'm going then, you know.
And see what your husband raised, you know. Isn't that incredible?
Well, his parents had more to do with that than my husband. We had a very small influence there. Jeremy goes on the missions trip, and to him, you know, everything's exciting and wonderful, and they get over there, and they're living on a little island and sleeping in a hammock, and they're building the Bible school.
He finally got to see the beach?
Yeah.
Oh, my
goodness. Well, they decide that there was this one village that they weren't sending anybody to the Bible school, so they wanted to go to this village and, you know, evangelize them and then invite them, you know, because the villages, about once a week, people from all the different villages that were interested, they would come down and attend the Bible school for training.
Wow.
So they contact the village chief of this one particular village and tell them that they would like to come. And what they would do is they would show the Passion of the Christ so that people could see the sufferings of Christ, and then they would, you know, preach the gospel to them.
Do you mean the movie, or they have
the movie?
Wow.
Yeah. They would bring the equipment up there and the generator and everything they needed to show the movie. So, because, you know, seeing it sometimes is more effective than just hearing.
A picture is worth a thousand words.
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, the village chief told him, no, if you come here, I'll kill you.
My. Yes.
Now, Jeremy and his friend, they really felt like they needed to go, and Jeremy wasn't all that thrilled about being a martyr, but his friend was like gung-ho.
You know, anybody's thrilled to be a martyr.
So, you know, they prayed about it, and they decided, well, you know, we're some of the people in the village, even though the chief didn't want them there, some of the people in the village wanted them to come, so they decided, okay, we're going to go. And the morning they got up to go, it's storming like a monsoon. They can't leave.
Wow.
So they have to wait. They delayed, you know, their trip until that was done.
Here
and
again,
Jeremy,
the master set up God, right? Go
ahead. yep, and it was.
Yep.
So the next day after the rain stopped, and then they have to go practically vertically up a mountain to get to where the village is, and it's all muddy, and it was really a chore, especially with the heavy equipment and the generator and everything they needed.
Yes.
But they finally get up there, and the village chief is not there.
He was gone? Wow.
He died in the storm.
Are you serious? Oh, you see what I mean about God, the master
mm-hmm.
set up?
mm-hmm.
This is why those of us who really believe, right, Tina, mm-hmm. we should never
mm-hmm.
worry about what we do, never, never,
mm-hmm.
when it's in line with God's will. Yes,
that's
go ahead.
Right.
That's amazing, amazing.
So they get up there, and, of course, the guy's not there to kill him because he's already dead. And then,
like a Haman, right?
He got
got hung on his own gallows.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Wow. Did the lightning hit him, or do you know?
Oh, I don't know the details
attack.
On exactly how he died, but he
wow.
died during the storm.
Wow.
Now, so Jeremy, they get up there to, you know, to show the movie, and the whole village turns to Christ.
Oh, talk about God's miracle. Oh,
there's more
all
to
over
it.
Me.
Yes. Yep, there's more to it.
Wow.
So, you know, they were thrilled, you know, they preached
yes.
and they go off to the next village, and the village
yes.
chief there comes to them and he says, "Do you want to know why the whole village accepted Christ?"
Yeah.
And Jeremy said, "Yeah."
Yeah.
Of course they wanted to know.
Right.
He thought it was his great preaching, but there was a whole lot more, he said.
I would think so.
Well, 100 yes. years before Jeremy showed up,
yes.
there was a missionary that came to this tribe, and they
oh.
killed him. But right before he died,
yes.
he told them, this missionary
yes.
from 100 years ago,
yes.
he told them that one day two white American missionaries
oh.
were going to come.
Oh. I got goosebumps all over me. Oh my
and
God.
They were
oh.
and they would teach them how to build eternal homes.
Oh my goodness.
No,
oh my.
No he said no wait,
down.
He said let me get
yes.
this right. He said when the cane is no more that they built their homes out of, two white American missionaries would come. I'm
yes.
not getting this word for word. This story is in
yes.
my book, but
yes.
That they would come and they and their way of life would change, and they would teach them how to build eternal homes.
Oh my goodness!
Well, here's
oh
what happened
goodness.
when their
yes.
chief died in the storm.
Yes.
They knew they felt like they had offended God.
God. Yes.
And then they had this prophecy. And so here come these two white guys and preach
oh.
the gospel to them. Well, the hurricane had destroyed the cane that they build their homes with.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't that something? Wow.
It was remarkable. So
wow.
Jeremy and his friend were the fulfillment because they never forgot.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy still knew the prophecy. That prophecy survived for 100 years.
By word of mouth from one generation to the
yes.
other. Wow,
yes.
wow, Tina.
And that's
God.
Why that's why the village chief didn't want them there. He didn't want their way of life to change.
Oh,
and that's why he was
going to
kill them if they came.
And that's why he was killed. That's why he was out of the way.
So yeah,
wow.
God removed him. Yeah.
You know how the Bible says, touch not God's anointed. When they're really anointed, you
mm-hmm.
better watch what you do, right?
Oh, yeah. If God wants to do something,
oh.
you really don't want to get in his way, and you really
no.
don't want to go threatening to kill his people.
No,
you know?
It doesn't work, does it?
No, it does not.
I can tell you from personal experience. You know, I've been continuously threatened my life if I tell my story and or I have mm-hmm. to renounce Jesus publicly.
But
everybody, isn't that something?
Yeah.
Before we go any further, because we only have a few minutes, and I want to repeat the information about you and then have
okay.
you tell us what's really in your heart, Tina.
Okay?
Okay. So Tina is the wonderful author. What a wonderful storyteller you are, Tina. It's a pleasure. And her book is Finding Faith in the City, Care for God, which is New Orleans. We all know how everybody forgot them. And her email is Tina, T-E-E-N-A, Myers, M like Mary, Y-E-R-S, at the letter ymail.com. That's Tina Myers at ymail.com. And her website is http://twice, Tina with initial L, like lion, myers.com. And Tina, what is it that you most would like to people to know about what your evolution of faith was all about and what they should learn from what you learned?
I think the main thing is that people need to understand that when they got saved, it's not the end, it's the beginning. that you will go, it will take many years, and you will grow and you will mature, and you probably won't mature any faster than your physical body matures. And you come into the world as a little baby, and then over the next 20 or so years before you're fully mature, that your faith grows in a similar fashion.
Wow.
And that you need to set your heart to seek the things that God wants to give you and to be flexible on the things that you want, because everything you want is not necessarily good for you.
Because so you don't know the end of it. You don't know where
exactly.
Exactly.
I think that is, over the years, of, as I have grown in my faith, that is the most important thing that I have learned, is that God is good and what he wants to give me is good, and that I need to be flexible on the things that I want and not let them interfere with the things that God wants.
And to seek his will constantly, right?
Exactly.
And then to pray accordance to his will, because then you will see it manifest.
Right.
I thank you. I'm going to cry, but I thank you so much, Tina, because you're a true servant of God, and what you have to offer is so fabulous. And you said also your book can be gotten at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Yeah, it's available there on both those sites. And people could go to any bookstore, and they can order a copy from any bookstore.
And let's repeat the name of the book again, please.
It's Finding Faith in the City Care for God.
And it's New Orleans, right?
Yeah, the City Care for God is New Orleans. All of the stories are people who I met in and around the city of New Orleans.
And you said something about going about the largest bridge. Which one was that?
Oh, that's the causeway.
Oh,
that goes over Lake Pontchartrain. It's about 24 miles long.
I've been on it. That's coming south, right, towards New Orleans?
Yeah.
And it's very low by the water, as I recall,
Yes, it is. Yeah, well, they've had to raise parts of it because the hurricane pushed in water and kind of whacked some things out. But
oh, my goodness. And one other funny thing I have to say, well, not funny, you know, you live on the West Bank, and right away I thought of Jordan. Being from Israel, I couldn't resist it.
Yep, I'm on the West Bank.
I pray protection over you and your family in Jesus' name. But thank you so much, Tina, for your wonderful, wonderful story and testimony, and that the Lord bless every part of what you do and every work of your hands and every creation of your mind, which comes from the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' mighty name. And thank you, everybody. Have a blessed day, and contact Tina. We love you.
Thank you, and thank you for having me today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.